You know, Wednesday morning we have prayer time, praying in a circle of four, and my good brother Jack sitting over here was in that circle. And he prayed this. He said, Lord, he started to pray the truth we learned in Revelation 2, that, Lord, we would not forget our first love, and that we just get caught up in our doing of the ministry and the work. And Jack, as you prayed that, God just instantly put a caution flag in my heart. Because I got to be honest with you, I love what I do. I love the privilege to study and to preach God's word. I love to be a team of people who are trying to lead others into a deeper relationship with Jesus. I really love that. I love what I'm doing. But God put a caution in my heart that morning as we prayed is, be careful not to fall in love with the work more than the people and more than Jesus. You see, ministry really is a means to an end. Ministry is that instrument through which God works to minister blessing to people and to further their walk with Jesus to the glory of God. That's really what ministry is. It's not the end in itself. It's a means to the end. And I was so impressed by that, that at the staff meeting, just about 3 hours later, I had to share with the staff what God spoke to me that morning through your prayer, Jack. Because we're seeking to be more intentional as a church, as a leadership, and as a staff, to be even more intentional with the mission that Jesus gave us to make disciples. And I had to share with the staff that we need to be careful and cautious that we don't end up loving the work and loving the mission more than we love Jesus and more than we love people. It's easy to fall in love with the work. It's easy to fall in love with the dream. We want to be this. We want to become that. And we get all excited and fired up and jacked up. But ministry is really designed to build people to the glory of Jesus rather than using people to build the ministry. And that's the temptation for every person in ministry as they come to people. Am I here to bless them or am I going to try to get them to further the work that God's trying to do here? The end goal of the mission that Jesus gave us is not more and better programs. It's not reaching certain goals. It isn't about becoming bigger and better, even though I think every one of those is a good thing, and I hope every one of those comes true. But listen to what 1 Corinthians 13 says, if love's not a part of it. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, basically if I can speak every language there is fluently, and I can even speak in the tongue of angels, but if I don't have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Guess what that means? I can speak real well, but really I'm just making a lot of ministry noise if there isn't love in the middle of that. If I have the gift of prophecy, I can bring a message from God and know all mysteries. Man, I understand this thing. I understand what God's trying to do. He's given me wisdom to put all these pieces together in all knowledge. And if I have the faith to move a mountain and say, me, move from here to move to there, so that the mountain moves. But if I don't have love, I am nothing. Now, I know that doesn't sit good with a lot of us in our modern psychology. I'll let Paul explain that, but I'll let Ron Ovitt deal with it further. But I will say this, I think speaking to us as ministers and what we're doing, it really comes up empty. We know from all of those scriptures that we are very important and valuable to God. But when you're ministering, if love is not a part of it, and all this is all your knowledge you're putting out, man, and all your Bible stuff, you're like a nothing when it comes to a minister. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, last Sunday's message, man, I'm generous. I give everything I got to serve people. And I surrender my body to be burned. Here's sacrifice. But if I do not have love, it profits me nothing. That's amazing. Every possession I have, and I even give my life, but if love is not at the core motive of it, I really gain nothing from everything that I'm doing. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, that's where we're going to be this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn there. Paul, in essence, says the same thing. He says it this way: ministry without love is vain. It comes up empty. It's useless. It's like wind just blowing by. It's like a breath that's here in a moment and gone next. And what we're going to learn in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, that Paul's ministry and his hard work and sacrifice was really driven by the deep love that he had for that church. See, Paul and his team of Silas and Timothy, they did not use the Thessalonian church for any personal gain that they could get for themselves. No financial gains, not even ministry gains. But rather, they laid down their life for the church's spiritual gain. That was the heart of Paul. That was the heart of his team. And he said, any other kind of ministry really comes out in vain. So this is what we want to ask ourselves this morning. You know, a lot of times we ask, how's your passion for the lost? And we will look at that in a couple weeks, because this whole series is about places where God transforms us. And this is an area that I'm looking and praying about my own heart and others. Today isn't about how's your heart for the lost. Today's how's your heart for the believer? What kind of passion do you have to see your brothers and sisters in Christ grow in Christ? What kind of passion do you have to see them be set free from the slaveries and the bondages of sin and of their past? So this morning, we want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 to be able to let the Word of God, like a mirror in James, be held up in front of me so I can see what's going on in my heart and say, how is my passion for the believer? How's my heart for the believer? What's my ministry like to the believer? So let me pray again before we... Father, I just have such a desire this morning that what comes this morning is more than Pat Peglow at his best. Lord, I long as I come to you bringing myself this message, my brothers and sisters here. Father, you say that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Would your Holy Spirit take the Word of God this morning, meet us in our hearts, speak to us, change us, transform us, leave something permanent, Lord. We're not looking for a vain ministry this morning that's here one moment and gone the next. But God, I'm asking that you would use this morning's message in our lives to change us as individuals, change us as a church, and God, to be a message that gives us a deeper heart born by your Word and your Spirit for each other, and our growth and freedom in Christ to the glory of God. It's in his name I pray. Amen. So that's where we're going this morning. Thessalonians chapter 2, asking that question. And you know, it's interesting. If you remember Revelation chapter 2, that's what your prayer came out of, Jack. If we remember Revelation chapter 2, this was a church that Jesus, these were the letters of Jesus to the church. And Jesus said, this church in Ephesus, you got some things you're doing real good. You guys are solid with the truth. You live holy lives. You're working hard for Jesus and you're enduring. You're not quitting. No matter what comes your way, you don't stop. He says, but I got one thing against you. You left your first love. You left your first love. And in that passage, he really doesn't tell us, is that the love for Jesus or the love for people? I think that both are true. And I think what he's saying is you've lost your love for Jesus, you lost your love for people, you've fallen in love with the work, you've fallen in love with the truth, you're doing all this stuff, but you lost your first love for Jesus and for the people you're ministering to. Is that a big deal? Well, Jesus did say, we learned that morning, if you don't repent of this, I'm going to come shut down the church. I'm gonna close your doors. Basically, you're gonna say you're gonna become a church that's totally ineffective if you go on. You'll be just doing a lot of ministry noise, a lot of activity that adds up to nothing. And so Jesus takes it very serious that love and our love for the people we serve be right at the heart of our ministry. So I want you to note at the start of 2 Thessalonians, or I'm sorry, I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If I told you second, I meant first. Note he says here in verse 1, "For you know yourselves, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain." That's where I get this vain part. You'll see from the rest of this passage, it's broken down simple like this, how he didn't come and how he did come. And so first of all, he lays out in verses 1-6 how he did not come to them. And if you look down in verse 3, he says, "Our exhortation," or our message, "the truth we brought to you was not from error or impurity or way of deceit." Then in verse 5, he says this, "We never came with flattering speech." We learn from Proverbs, the person that flatters is really setting up a trap for the person they're flattering. So Paul says, we didn't come flattering you guys with a bunch of stuff so we could get something from you. And as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. In other words, you know, we weren't here trying to get your money to further our ministry. God is witness. But Paul said, God knows our hearts, guys. I'm telling you, I wasn't here to get your money. I wasn't here flattering you, try to get something from you. He goes on in the next verse, "Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ, we might have asserted our authority." Paul says, we didn't come to you to seek some kind of glory. The word basically means praise. We weren't looking for some affirmation from you. We weren't looking for some kind of special honor or recognition for what we do. We weren't looking to be honored in a special way. We weren't looking for your affirmation. We weren't looking for significance from you. We were here to serve God. Bottom line, they weren't here to get anything from them. They were there to give their lives for their sake. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friend, for their growth in Jesus. I want to just take a moment. "Nor do we seek glory from men." You know, guys, I take a moment here because I've wrestled with this too. I hear so many people, and I've said, you know, I want to do something significant with my life. I'm going to get involved in ministry. You know, I'm missing something, so I need to fill that void in my life. That's using ministry to fix something inside of me. That's using ministry, you know, so I can get affirmation. What people say, "Wow, you really did a good job this morning," and all of a sudden my heart feels real good and I feel really affirmed. You see what Paul's saying? I didn't do any of this for me. I didn't get involved in ministry so I could fix something that was missing in my life, whether it's significance or purpose or affirmation or whatever would be the case. He says, I didn't seek any of that stuff. Guys, I was here to serve you. In fact, he goes on in the rest of the passage to say how he did come and how they did lay down their life to minister to others. In verses 7 to 12, we're going to see he laid down his life, and I should say they, Silvanus and Timothy, were with him, and they laid down their lives for the spiritual benefit of others. They used their ministry to build the Thessalonians, not the Thessalonians to build them. Their lives were for the sake of building that church, not using the church to build them in their ministry. And Paul's going to draw two powerful pictures here. They're just amazing that we, all of us, can relate to, because we've all had a mom or a dad, or we've all, or many of us have been moms and dads. And he's going to draw the powerful picture of the kind of heart that makes our ministry significant to the glory of God and to the benefit of others and not vain. And we're going to see the mixture of the love of a mother and the truth of a father coming together as one so that they could grow in their relationship with Jesus. Watch for that as I read verses 7 to 12. This is such a beautiful passage. But we proved to be gentle among you. You know, this is the follow-up from what we just read. I wasn't here to use it. We didn't do all these things, but rather, you know what, guys? We proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, and how working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave towards you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each of you as a father would his own children. Why? So that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. What a beautiful picture. The love, the gentle, caring love of a nursing mother. The exhorting and imploring words of a father, like he's speaking to his own children, coming together to help people in their walk with Jesus. That's what this whole passage is about. You know, I still remember when Kim was nursing. I think it's one of the most awesome experiences that a woman can have. The nursing of a child, you could see the dynamic going on in, between mom and child. It's just a beautiful picture, and the gentleness and the care that a mother has for their young infant as they're feeding them. And that's what Paul is saying here. We were gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having such a fond affection for you, we were happy to do this. This wasn't a sacrifice. You know, we feel that as parents. This is my child. This isn't a sacrifice. I want to do this. I love him. And so Paul's saying, because we loved you so much, like our own children, we were well pleased not only to just give you the word and the gospel, but also to impart our own lives to you. Why? Because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, as we read in the book of Acts, we learn that Paul had a side job as he was in the ministry. It was tent making. And the reason he did that is so he wouldn't be a burden to the churches that he served. And so we see this here. He's saying, you know what? You recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. Like a mother who their child's not a burden, but a joy, lays down their life for the care of the child. The parent exists for the benefit of that child, not the child for the benefit of the parent, even though the parent gets blessed by it. But he's saying the same thing here. This is the kind of love that Paul had for his church. His relationship that was filled with joy and sacrifice. We don't think of those two together. But that's the truth. It had the you know, we talked about ingredients before. This kind of heart was a sacrificial heart for the sake of the people, but it was a heart that was happy to do it. It was well pleased because these people had become very dear to them. It was a delight. It was a relationship that was full of love and grace. That's what we see with Paul towards this church. But then we see it move down into a different kind of love. Now I was going to talk about the Father. And the Father's going to bring in that truth aspect. He's going to be about the words. So here you got the mother bring all the gentle, loving, sacrificial, tender, happy to do it kind of love and gentleness to the relationship. Now you have the father bringing in the truth and the words into it. He says this, verse 10, you are witnesses and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave towards you. Here's the integrity of their life. Dads, are we walking with integrity so that the message we bring has power? Because he says in verse 11, he continues that thought, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring, that's using his words. I'm exhorting you, I'm encouraging you, I'm imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. And when we look at this passage, we see it coming together, something that's very important. We see the love of a mother and the truth of a father coming together for what purpose? Verse 12, so that, there it is, conjunctions, important, gives us the direction of what's coming next. This tells us the purpose for everything that came before. The reason they loved them like a nursing mother and like a father bringing the truth is so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you in his own kingdom and glory. Grace and truth. Love and truth. Relationship and truth mixed together so that the people that are in front of me can grow in their walk with Jesus Christ. And therefore, when we do it that way, then Paul says, my ministry isn't in vain. Paul would say in Corinthians, then I'm not just making a bunch of noise. Then I'm just not a nobody when it comes to ministering. Then there isn't just no profit to what I'm doing, but rather love and truth coming together to help people grow in Jesus. You know, God was so encouraged, was so kind to me this morning in this respect, because I don't know why. I need something from God sometimes to tell me what I have to say is important. It's not, they all heard this before, who cares? You know, nobody really cares. We have heard this before. Just a month or so ago, I kind of shared a message with you about our mission as a church as we're looking forward from 75 and kind of looking to be a greater disciple-making church. Disciples who make disciples. Gary, thank you for your opening in the sense that, yeah, following Jesus, impacting others. That's what a disciple does. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's what Jesus said. So our mission as a church is to follow Jesus, impact others, both believers and lost. That's what God is calling us to. And then I share with you some of the values that are going to be important to us. And one of them that just doesn't fit, you normally don't hear this as a value in a church, but we have a burden for it because I think it's so important to our culture, is the value of grace and truth. Now, before I put that up there and remind you, okay, well, go ahead, Pete, we'll do it. Then I'll come back to what I was going to say. If I forget to tell you what I was going to say, let me know. So, we believe we all need grace and truth. That's how God meets us in our brokenness, and it's how we engage other people in our current culture. Stop and think of it. Didn't God meet us in his grace and truth? His love and truth? Isn't that what you need? And isn't that what I need as we walk as broken people in a broken world? I need God's grace and I need God's truth. God's grace enables me. God's truth guides me. But the problem is some people think, well, if I just get the truth, that's all I need. Here's the problem, man. Well, we may know the truth, but we don't have the ability to pull it off. Grace gives us the ability to pull off the truth. And so we need grace and truth so I know where to go and I have the ability to get there. And so I need that as a believer every day. You need that as a believer every day. And guess what? The people we minister to, whether they're believers or lost, need grace and truth as we engage in them. So why is this important? This is what God reminded me this morning. This is important because Jesus said in Revelation 2, if you don't minister with grace and truth, I'm going to come and close down the doors. What that means is either Moraine Valley will eventually turn into a building that is bought by Home Depot, and they're able to, you know, bring in all their supplies and use us as a place to sell their goods. Or maybe we'll be a church that keeps on going, but we'll just be doing a lot of ministry noise and a lot of ministry activity that adds up to nothing. Because if we don't have both grace and truth, Jesus said that's what's going to happen. Then I couldn't help but think we did a Christmas series, didn't we? Of course we did. You don't need to answer that question. I guess I was asking myself that. We did do a Christmas series this year. And we talked about John chapter 1. And we saw that Jesus came. And in Jesus we saw the very glory of God. What's the glory of God? We learned this. The glory of God is the very essence of who God is at his core. And when the glory is revealed, it's a revelation of God. And Jesus has said, in him we saw the glory as the only begotten of the Father. Nobody ever has communicated God's glory better and more fully than Jesus. And he said this, full of what? Grace and truth. God's glory at the center of his glory is the coming together of grace and truth. We hear Paul saying, no, you know what? When there's not grace and truth, guys, guess what? Our ministry is in vain. It really doesn't happen the way that God intended it to be. So this is important stuff. This is important for us not only to know the truth, but by God's grace, God's Spirit, to work that truth into the heart of Moraine Valley Church, into the heart of me, into the heart of you, so that as we engage one another and we engage people in the world around us that need Jesus, we bring to them not just grace and love and relationship, and not just truth, but we can be a people that have found a way to bring the two together as one. You know, it's interesting. The morning I spoke of this, the children's ministry had a gathering for another couple hours afterwards, because my wife works on that, I was able to go to that. And there was a man there named Dan LaValia. And Dan shared the whole time about the importance of relationship and truth in our ministry to children. And his whole point for 2 hours, which anybody sitting there, you know, we had a chance to interact and talk. It was a powerful time. And I thought, this is unbelievable, God. This is what we just talked about this morning. And Dan's helping us see, you know, guys, if we bring all the truth to our kids, but we don't build a relationship with them, our ministry is going to be ineffective. The kids will never trust you and know you. And if we have all relationship and never bring them the truth, we haven't really done them good. And so, Dan showed a slide at that time of the importance of relationship and truth and how we find the sweet spot in ministry. That inspired this next slide I'm going to show that I think pictures the heart of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, as it says this. The love of a mother and the truth of the father, when they come together and where they intersect and they overlay one another, that's the sweet spot in ministry. That's the place we want to get to. That's the way we want to minister. The sweet spot of ministry is when the love of a mother, the truth of a father mixed together in the sweet spot, 1 Thessalonians 2:12, we just read that, so what? So people walk in a manner worthy of the God who called them into his own kingdom and glory. Guys, we want to be as a church. I want to be as an individual, and I know your heart longs to be the same. God, I want to be a person that just doesn't bring truth, and I want a person that just does love. I want to be in that sweet spot where the two cross over together in one, and as I minister to people from there, there's a big impact in their ministry. This is the place where effectiveness takes place. And when people know you love them, there's just something about they listen to you a little bit different. If they think you're just doing one of these things, you're a lot of ministry noise to them. You know, you don't have a relationship, you really don't care. You know what, you're just making a lot of noise to them as you're rattling off the truth to them. But I'll tell you what, guys, when you have a relationship with somebody and you care enough to listen and to love and to sacrifice your life for them out of joy, guess what? They listen with a whole different set of ears. And that's that sweet spot of ministry we want to get to. So let me ask you this. I'll go ahead and leave that up there, Pete. How close are you to the sweet spot? This is our application this morning. Where are you at? Are you heavy on one side and light on the other? You know, as one brother reminded me this morning, as he said to me, because I shared with him where I was going, he said, you know, Pat, because of the relationship I had with my parents, he said, I had the love of a mother, but my father was silent with the truth. And he said, my tendency in life is to lean towards the love side and be light on the truth side. Guys, we need to get to the sweet spot. And there's others, and I've shared with you guys before, that, you know, about some of my relationship with my parents. And so maybe I lean a little bit more on the truth side because that love side wasn't something I experienced quite as much as I grew up in my context. And so which side do you lean more towards? I trust we're all growing towards the sweet spot. But there's one side or the other. You may be like the mom who loves real well but is real sloppy with the truth. Or like this other guy doesn't even bring up the truth. Or maybe you're the father kind who's real strong on the truth, but really no relationship and no love and no tenderness. Guys, our goal is to hit the sweet spot of ministry. And some of you are there. I think I'm in there. You know, God has grown me. I certainly started with all truth, and I think he's grown me through many things in life. I think I'm in the sweet spot. But guess what? There's room to grow even if you're in the sweet spot of ministry. Because look at Paul's heart for the believers. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, listen to what he said. My children with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. Guess what that word labor is? Ladies, this is the word for a woman who is in labor pangs when they're giving birth. Guys, we don't understand it. Those of us who have been able to stand there and watch it get the picture, it hurts. There's a lot of pain there. And this is what Paul said his heart was for the believer. My life is like, I am so stretched for you. My heart is in such pain. It's like I'm in labor giving birth to a child, and that's going to continue until Jesus is formed in you. And I love that, guys. He doesn't say until you start doing all the Christian habits and the practices and the disciplines. Until you start going to church every week, until you start giving every week, until you start doing this, the quiet. No, it's until Jesus is formed in you. That's the goal. And guys, I can tell you, I think I'm in the sweet spot, but I'm not where Paul is. How did Paul pray that we would excel still the more with our love, both for the brethren and for all men? As I prepared for this, that was my prayer for me this morning. God, I got a ways to go yet. Yeah, maybe I'm hitting the sweet spot in the edges. But when it comes to the bullseye, did we put up the bullseye picture yet? When it comes to the bullseye of the sweet spot, it's like being in labor until Christ is formed in you. So guys, my hope and prayer this morning is this. Praise God, we live in a day of grace and truth. Because when we look at the truth, we all say, man, I got some growing to do. The good news of grace is God accepts us just where we are. And he loves us just as we are. He remembers that we're just but dust. But he loves us too much to leave us where we are. And he's constantly in work in us to make us more like Jesus. So wherever you are this morning, I want to encourage you to be honest with God with where you are, as I was this morning, say, Lord, this is where I need to grow. And I'm asking the Spirit of God to do it. And position yourself, as we've seen in this series, we've been talking on transformation. Position ourselves under the Spirit of God so that he can do a work in my life that only God can do to make me a person of grace and truth, love and truth, relationship and truth. So the people we minister to, their walk will look more and be more worthy of a walk with Jesus. So Father, that's my prayer for me. So this morning was kind of easy in the sense that I'm preaching it not only to them, I'm preaching it to me. And we as brothers and sisters, Lord, we want to be more like Jesus because we know that brings glory to you and it blesses others. And so, Father, as I come before you this morning, I just ask that you would be at work in each one of our hearts, point out to us where we are and where we need to grow. And Lord, would you give us the grace to depend upon you moment by moment until you make us more like Jesus to the glory of his name. Lord, make us those kind of people for the benefit of your glory and the benefit of others. Make us people who are more than well pleased to lay down our lives for others because they come dear to us. Make us people, Lord, who don't do any ministry to get something for ourselves, but rather to give to others. Father, give us the gentle, tender care of a nursing mother. And Lord, the encouragement and the imploring and the exhortation of truth of a father. God, would you, by your Spirit, mix those together as one in our hearts to the glory of your name. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.